We should start the show now you're here, Joel.
Yeah, I got some toys to talk about.
All right, 865, here we go. Give me a count around.
213.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
We didn't bet on when Joel was going to come.
It was with 830.
Manel.
Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the guests, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channels, analytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Yo.
Welcome to episode 865 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going, man?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Hello, hello.
And the excitement ensues.
Yeah.
Still haven't installed Tumbleweed yet. Maybe this weekend.
Nice. I picked up about three things up at Micro Center last weekend. I picked up a SanDisk Extreme SSD, the USB-C/USB 3 external flash drive, 1 terabyte, 550 megabits per second on the read speed. Main reason I picked it up was to use as a temporary editing drive when I'm editing video. I'll put the video on that instead of on top of my Surface's internal drive, and I'll put the video on that. And I did a little test the other night. I was managed to be able to edit comfortably 4K video, and I think it comes from the speed of that drive.
Like, how much more noticeable was it?
It was like night and day, like between like crawling video and actually smooth, non-dropping frame video.
Huh.
It was much better. I think it has to do with the speed of the drive. It was just so much faster than my spinning platter that I have, which I have the other drive I have, which I actually have connected to it right now. Yeah, which is the one I usually use, which is the Western Digital 2 terabyte spin and platter drive. So this is just 10 times. I don't know if it's 10 times faster, but it's definitely much faster, and it's much better. And it's you've probably seen them. They're the kind of smallish kind. They're actually an M2 drive in a external external form factor. So, and you can actually plug it into your phone and copy video off your phone onto it, and vice versa. So, pretty nice. Like, going from the SanDisk to my phone is just, like, I've done it before, like, by just attaching, like, a, well, actually, the harder part is my spinning platter has, I believe it's NTFS, because I'm using them primarily on Windows, so that's drive file format I got on it. The SanDisk came formatted with XFAT, so it does work on Linux. I actually mounted it on my Pi. Once you load the Fuse file system and XFAT extensions, so that works just great. The other two I actually picked up purposely for my Pi. I picked up a Pi Foundation, the official Pi Foundation Raspberry Pi keyboard, which is really nice. It actually has a hub built into it. It has a micro USB plug on it, and then a standard micro USB to USB cable that plugs from the keyboard to the Pi, and then there are 3 USB ports on it. And into one of those USB ports, I have plugged the official Pi Foundation mouse. So they were just sitting right next to each other, and I thought, oh, let me pick those up. And total about $30 for all of them. But the keyboard's really nice because basically I only didn't have the, in order to have a keyboard and mouse, I only have to have one USB port taken on my, Pi. Oh. So, about the only thing I could criticize about the keyboard is the, ports on the keyboard are all USB 2. So, even though I could plug my, SanDisk drive into that, it's actually faster and better if I plug it into one of the USB 3 ports on the board itself. Cause the hub only supports USB 2. And the hub is also non-powered. So, there's no, power plugging into the keyboard to help power the, hub. So anything that's a relatively, heavy power requirement wise, you really wouldn't want to plug it into the keyboard. Like, thinking like an external spinning pad or hard drive, you probably would rather plug it directly into the Pi. But, I almost picked, instead of the SanDisk, I almost picked up, man, hard drives, especially external ones, are getting really cheap. I have to go back and look on their website, but I swear I saw a 6 terabyte drive, external drive for $116.
That's not bad.
Nope. It was a desktop style, so it had a power adapter that you would have to plug it into. 6 terabytes worth of storage for external storage for less than $150? Sure. I love Micro Center. If I had more time, I would have plunked around there. And that and the other thing, too, is they just kind of the city did a mask order. And then, of course, now it's a county. So if anywhere in Franklin County, you have to have a mask on if you're anywhere, at any store.
How big is Micro Center?
Micro Center's pretty big. It was, I'd say it's smaller than if you ever been to Fry's Electronics, it's smaller than that, but it's kind of between like a Fry's and like an old, like your old kind of old school kind of computer place. The nice thing about it too is they do have a substantial build your own PC department now, which I don't really. They've always had parts, but they never really had the amount of stock that they do now for building your own machine. Everything from water
I don't know.
Machines
no,
to
the one,
others.
The one here has basically always had that stuff. Like always.
Well, it depends on how old it is. You know, I remember a time where Micro Center was probably less focused on the consumer and more focused on business. So there wasn't as much of that.
It tends to happen to a lot of your electronic stores. You see them all shift that way. I mean.
Right.
I mean, even what, CompUSA, before it closed down, it was mostly parts you couldn't get elsewhere, and only hardcore nerds went in there. And then by the end, they were selling stereos and cell phones.
Right.
And that was basically it.
Well, Micro Center pretty much has TVs and cameras and stuff that you didn't used to carry when I first started going to Micro Center years ago. See, Micro Center's based out of Columbus. So, I mean, you know, they started here. So,
Well, another one to look at would be Radio Shack.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Where are you going to find a Radio Shack anymore?
Hardly anywhere.
Almost nowhere. I mean, but that was the point. In the beginning, they started out selling, like, the connectors you couldn't find anywhere else. Right. The stuff to build your own things. Or really weird circuits and buttons if you had to find them. And then by the end, it was, you know, cell phones and kit radios.
I mean, Micro Center kind of spun away, they didn't have like a lot of the electronic components and stuff that they have now, when I first started going there. And 3D printers, you know, well, they didn't exist when I first started going to Micro Center, but But that's like, if you want to go pick up some PLA locally and you have a micro center, go there. Best place to go to get it. And the Inland PLA is pretty good. That's their brand. Although we'll say this, their selection was off because I think there's so many people that were buying, PLA to, and PETG to, print, PPE stuff. So, but, I love Microsoft. It's one of my favorite stores. So
I've never been to a Fry's either or seen one. How is that compared to a, like, is it,
well, right now they're
half
empty.
The size of a Best Buy?
No, no, they were like friggin' huge.
Okay, so right. Micro Center's like pretty huge.
Micro Center's pretty big, but Fry's is right. Bigger.
Okay. Fry's is definitely bigger, although but a lot there's a lot of empty space in Fry's. Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, they weren't. Now there's like nothing in them.
Yeah. Fry's is kind of weird too, because it has everything from appliances, to TVs, to PC components, to electronic components, to tools to work on your electronics and computers and stuff, to energy drinks and chips. When I went to the one in San Diego last year, they had perfume. I'm not joking. Yeah, there was a shelf that had perfume on it when I was there.
And I guess so, they overextended, huh? And now,
they're kind of weird. They're not gone. I think part of Fry's thing is that they got a bad reputation with a lot of people. Used to be like, if you've ever been to a place that was known for repackaging stuff, Fry's was notorious for that. So somebody bought a card. And maybe when they were putting it in the end of their computer, they busted it, but they came back and they told Fry's, hey, it doesn't work. So they accepted the return and then they repackaged it and put it back on the shelf and then you'd buy it and it wouldn't work and things like that. Fry's was, there was actually a website back in the 90s that was dedicated towards how shitty Fry's was at the time. But they're much smaller than you used to be. The thing that they were always known for, too, was every Fry's had a different kind of decor. Like, one was like a space station. Another one was, like, was decorated like a Western. And I don't think they do that anymore. So I think Amazon, for the most part, took a lot of places of Fry's and other stores too, like that. But oh, and on the caffeine front, I bought like a reusable filter for my AeroPress coffee maker, which kind of makes it a little bit more like an espresso machine or like an espresso capable brewer. And I've been making a different drink I never thought I'd try, but I bought I've used both the plain and the like plain seltzer water or plain or pure LaCroix, they'll call that flavor, or the coconut LaCroix. And I'll fill a glass up with that nice and leave enough space in the top for a shot of coffee from the AeroPress. And then a dribble or two of vanilla syrup in the top and stir that together, and that's a drink. And it's actually pretty good. It's kind of weird, though, having a coffee with a little bit of carbonation in it.
What's it called? Like, is there a name for that?
I don't know. I don't know. I saw it on the AeroPress group, so I thought I'd try it, and it's pretty good. I might have to try it with some other flavors of LaCroix and see, like,
cucumber.
Oh, no, that would be horrible. Like I was going to say, I don't think, see, the one thing in coffee that doesn't really work in coffee with me is, like, fruit flavors. And I found this out by, when I really got more into coffee, when I actually had an actual real espresso machine, not an espresso, I bought a bottle of cherry flavoring syrup at the coffee shop the one time, and I tried that in coffee, and that's freaking horrible. Does not work.
That sounds disgusting.
It is. It is. It's a lot, it's like coughs, combining cough syrup with coffee. No. But, like vanilla, cinnamon, caramel, those work. Those kind of flavorings work. Chocolate works too with coffee. Almond even works better with coffee than anything else. But the coffee I'm using in my AeroPress as of late is a Death Wish coffee, which is starting to become one of my favorites. Although I got some more coffee coming from Bespoke Post this month. I wanted to cancel it because I just didn't really want to spend the extra money, but I forgot because of the holiday. So they're gonna send me coffee from what's the name of the company? Driven, I think. Or no, Drive Coffee. And they're all medium roasts, single origins. There's one called Wysak, which is named after the Porsche's spiritual home on Wysak, Germany. And that's a medium roast from Ethiopia. Then another version called the Aspen Edition, which is a medium roast. What's the origin on this one? Oh, Colombia. And then Brentwood, which is also a medium roast, but it's from Mexico. And then all single origins, and then two cans of their Nitro Cold Brew.
Tasty.
Cold brew coffee is freaking delicious. I know. Telling you. Especially the Nitro Cold Brew. I've been picking up every once in a while. I'll pick up a can of the Starbucks Nitro Cold Brew. Delicious. Delicious. I mean, I don't care if it came from Starbucks or not. I'm not a real coffee snob.
I don't understand why people think coffee has to be good. It just has to work.
Oh yeah. Well, I agree. I agree and disagree. You know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice if it is good. It just doesn't have to.
Right.
Be.
But Nitro Cold Brew is like, it's like if you didn't like coffee because it's bitter, Nitro Cold Brew, or really any cold brew, usually isn't bitter at all. At least I don't find it bitter.
But it's less bitter. It's also less acidic.
That too. It doesn't screw up.
Depending on how you do it. Well, it's going to be less acidic, but.
Like if you have GERD, or acid reflux, coffee will wreak havoc with you, but a cold brew won't.
You can have bitter cold brew, you just gotta really try hard.
I was gonna say, you gotta basically leave the grinds in the coffee, or in the water, for a week, and then you'll have bitter cold brew.
No. If you cold brew it, and then you press it, while it's still cold, you should get some bitterness.
I need to get a toddy.
Plus, if you're not mixing it down, you might have a small heart attack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cold extract coffee ain't no joke.
It's not for the weak-willed.
And nope. One of these days, I need to order me a bottle of Black Blood of the Earth. Have you heard of that, Joe?
No. It's a cold brew. You know, the Black Death.
Death Wish is delicious.
What's that other? Black Rifle?
BRC, yeah, Black Rifle Coffee, Silence or Smooth, or I'm trying to remember their dark one.
Black Rifle Coffee, Death Wish Coffee.
This Drive Coffee looks interesting. The beans that they're sending me come in what looks like oil cans. Old school oil cans. Well, actually, maybe not oil cans, because it's got like a twist-off cap on it.
can get a 5-pound bag of Death Wish for $80.
Chocolate nuts is old school coffee for sure. Doesn't it have chicory in it too? I think.
No, it's
ooh.
Okay.
No more.
Biohazard ground coffee, the world's strongest coffee, 928 milligrams of caffeine.
You guys ever had the Black Rifle coffee? It's supposed to be pretty good.
I need to order some.
I've had Black Rifle. I've had Death Wish. They're both good. Death Wish is, for how strong it is, it's exceptionally smooth.
I think so. The Black Blood of the Earth by Funranium Labs. Look that up. That's pretty interesting.
Here. Pat, you need to get this one.
Wow, that's a URL and a half that you just posted.
Seriously.
It is, man. Biohazard is Biohazard's a different brand. Because another one that also comes from the same company as Black Rifle is Valhalla Java.
Yeah. Valhalla Java ground coffee by Death Wish Coffee.
Which is very good, too.
It's supposed to be organic.
And it is very Viking.
And the 5-pound bag of this Biohazard coffee is even cheaper. Get that for $70.
And I've had both the Death Wish K cups as well as the Valhalla Java K cups. But ooh, I didn't know that Death Wish made cold brew. I'm gonna have to grab me some of that.
Anything's cold brew if you want it to be.
Well, true, but we'll see how this Drive coffee is. It looks interesting to me. Although it is all media, all what they're sending me is, I'm sure they probably sell dark roast, but what they're sending me is all medium or city roast. And, so it'll be a little bit, probably not as strong as I would normally like, but we'll see. Cause that could be good too.
Oh, when you say they sell cold brew, you mean they sell it in a can?
Yep, in a can, yeah.
That's kind of expensive, though, on Amazon. $20 for a 4-pack.
I'm lucky in that the local grocery store called Meijer here, they actually carry it. Actually, so does Kroger. I think that, well, actually, I don't know if they carry the can, the cold brew, but I know they carry the beans.
Yeah, make your own cold brew.
Yeah, the only thing, every time I make my own cold brew, I almost go through a pound of coffee in one shot. Because I don't mess around when I make it.
You shouldn't.
Nope. Well, and you gotta, to me, like, when I've made cold brew before at home, which right now I don't have anything that I can make it with yet. If I buy, there's a couple different makers out there. I want something better than what I used last time. When I made it a few years ago, I
grabbed some fresh ground coffee and.
Well, I started with a Ron Popeil cold brewer. He actually made one, and the local Ollie's.
Just need some coffee grounds.
Well, I know. I mean, you can use that in a cheesecloth, but
or a coffee filter.
Or a coffee filter, right. But I'd like to get a dedicated maker.
I have one.
They're not expensive, so. And I guess technically I have heard of people making cold brew with their AeroPress, But that's not, there's not going to be much. And I guess you could use a French press too with it to make cold brew.
You can also order the bags for making cold brew coffee from Amazon. Right. I got like 200 of them sitting over there. I can make cold brew coffee a gallon at a time if I really wanted to. Granted, I'm the only one in the house that really drinks coffee the way I drink coffee. So I would be the one expected to drink all of that. And I prefer not to time travel this week.
This is true, you do. Well, and I've been on the drink of the cold brew straight too.
Yeah.
And you could see time when you do that.
Yeah. Well, what am I going to mix it with? I'm not going to mix it with milk. I don't want to drink that much milk. Water. Well, what's the point in that?
Ice helps cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But
by the way I drink it, though, it's going to be gone long before that ice melts.
I know, right? That's the truth.
So
caffeine addicts.
Try some oat milk, maybe, or some banana milk, but then that's still a lot of sugar.
Half and half.
Well, you could do it like I did with the seltzer water. Actually, that's pretty good.
The LaCroix?
Yeah. Just put it, mix it with some plain, and it adds a little bit of carbonation to it. It's actually pretty tasty.
Maybe I'll give that a try tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
I had to come off my antihistamines for a week.
Oh, that sucks.
I had to, so that I could get tested and find out what I'm actually allergic to. And yeah, they did find out what I'm allergic to. And so then I started on my antihistamines again, and it's starting all over from the beginning with the antihistamines. It's like I take them, and 20 minutes later, I am unconscious. It doesn't matter.
So you're allergic to Texas, right?
I'm actually allergic to mold.
Oh.
Like the mold that comes like after it rains. And it's been a very rainy season this year, which is why I've been having so many damn problems.
Which is better than it was the year I was down there 2 years ago. Which I can't believe it's 2 years ago, but.
Yeah. Well, that was like intermittent rain here and there. This has been like 3 months now. I haven't had to water my lawn and it still looks great.
There you go. Which is unusual for Texas.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's been dry. Like it was 96 here earlier this week. It was so hot.
Dude, it was 96 here, but
and
I looked
humid.
I looked at the weather and they said it feels like it's 111.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's, 8:30
stupid
at night.
Stupid humidity.
And it's currently 91 degrees, but it feels like it's 101.
Mine says 86. Oh, and I got the quotes on our air conditioning. It's working now, okay, but the drip pan is got a hole in it. So it's just draining through my furnace, which is not good. It's not going out or nothing, so I'm not too worried about it. But they gave us two quotes. One is it sounds like to me they're not going to be able to make a drip pan for me, cuz one of the quotes was a little bit over 800. And it was replacing the coil, which includes the drip pan. Of course, new Freon and all that jazz. Cause they'll recover it and put it back in. And then the other one was the new, Lennox, condenser on the outside, new coil on the inside, which is just a little bit under 3,000. Which I'm thinking we're thinking more towards the latter, just because ours is 20 some years old, so it's had its day. Now, the one thing I haven't figured out yet was, there's like a $400 like credit, and I'm assuming that's would go towards if for some reason in the fall when we fired up the furnace, the furnace wouldn't work, that they would deduct that from the cost of putting a new furnace in. But We'll see, because it came in under what they were initially expecting. For a whole new system, they were expecting right around 5,000, and it was under that. And I talked to my brother-in-law over the weekend at his house on Saturday when we were up there for 4th of July, and he said those were good quotes. So I don't think we're going to go get any more. I think we're just going to make a decision. But obviously we weren't going to make it this week because I don't want to live for a day without air conditioning this week. Because it's been above 90 most of the week.
Yep. There are some times when it's just plain not a good idea to not have air conditioning.
It had been close to 90 degrees in the house if I didn't have any. So.
Did I mention last week that I picked up a 60-inch TV?
No.
No.
With a Roku in it?
No. For free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, somebody was, they just wanted to get rid of it because the HDMI port didn't work. So I got a 60-inch TV.
You repaired the port?
No, I didn't repair the port. I got an adapter for HDMI to composite.
Oh.
And it works great. And it's out in my garage.
Okay. Well,
hooked
that's,
up to my garage,
say, that's
computer.
That'd be the only place I would want to put something like that.
Why?
The quality wouldn't be as good.
Actually, no, that. It really is HDMI quality. You got to remember, uh-oh, it's composite, not RCA.
The RGB?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so the RGB breakout. All right.
Now, 1080p is the max you can get with composite, but
right,
that's all I really need out there, so.
Okay.
And then I had,
still, I wouldn't yesterday want that as my permanent, though.
It's free.
But, well, the bigger problem with that is a lot of stuff now. Like, for a good example is, Centio Superbook, that I can use with the DeX, because of HDCP content protection, certain streaming, so like YouTube works fine on it with my phone attached to it. But if I if I want to play Netflix on it, doesn't work. Now, you know, ironically enough, through the same freaking hub, which at that point it does, you don't have the HDMI dummy plugged into it like I have with the Centio. In order to make the Centio work, you have to have an HDMI dummy to make it work. It plugged into one of the HDMI ports in it. When you plug it, say, take the same hub, pull the HDMI dummy out, plug your TV into it, and it works. Netflix will work just fine on DeX. So, and that's all due to HDCP content protection. Cause Netflix has it, Hulu has it, pretty much any service has it. Fubo has it as well, which is the, my TV service I use. Oh, and now, just like YouTube, with YouTube TV, they're raising their price up $5 and adding, I think they're adding, I don't know who YouTube's adding, I think it's a Viacom stuff, so like, I think like, it might be ESPN and stuff that it didn't have before. So they're raising the cost of it up, by $5, but Fubo's also adding, ABC content. So like my local ABC affiliate will be on, Fubo, as well as I think ESPN, which is also an ABC, a Disney or ABC, affiliate kind of thing. So, I'll probably, if the Buckeyes play at all this year, I probably won't have to use my rabbit ears anymore. Cause, I should be able to pick up my local ABC affiliate on Fubo. And they're going to be going up by $5. So that's acceptable to me. Until somebody figures out how they can, let me cherry pick which networks I want, you know, which is probably never going to happen. Like, for example, I would want all my local affiliates. I'd want the Weather Channel. Not for me. For my son. I can give a shit. Fox Sports. What else would I want on TV service? ESPN. And that's not even that great of a need. And sci-fi I would like, although lately sci-fi hasn't had shit on. Better, there's been better sci-fi on Amazon and Netflix.
Yeah, I've been watching that Dark, the German time travel show.
Oh, yeah.
The third season is giving me a headache.
Now, I did watch the new Lost in Space was out a few months ago, and I watched all the way through that. That was really good.
Second season?
Yes. I thought it was third. Let me look. I have to look at my phone, but I thought they were in their third season already, but I may be wrong.
How much were you willing to pay for that, though?
See, that's the thing there. That's part of the problem. You know, and that's why bundles are, I mean, it's really no different than what was on cable.
Yeah, because, like, I'm seeing that a lot now, too. It's just, like, might as well go back to cable if you're going to spend $80 a month to get less than what you get on cable for that same price.
I'm not actually spending that, though. See, I spend, like, 55, I think it's 55 or 60. I can't remember. I have to look at my Fubo costs. But I pay that, and I pay Netflix, and I pay, well, Amazon, which that's more than just Amazon Prime Video.
Right.
Way more. I pay $6 a month for Hallmark stuff for my wife.
And you're already paying too much.
What, for the Hallmark stuff?
No, it's like $6 a month. It's no big deal.
Joe, I thought you loved the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The hockey
His
romance?
Wife.
The hockey romances, that's right. That's all I watch.
It's season
on
2.
Hallmark.
Right. Season 2 of Lost in Space, that is.
Murder, She Baked?
Murder, She Baked. And now they're showing Christmas in freaking July.
Joe, I have to say, when I was at my mother-in-law's, she has the Hallmark Channel, and the one, like, when we were there Thanksgiving,
awful.
The one day we watched, like, just watched the Hallmark Channel, and it was like a Murder, She Baked marathon. It was awesome, Joe.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about.
I really don't.
You don't like the Hallmark Channel? You watch it with your wife. Come on.
You know what? At Christmas, when she decides that she wants to watch, you know, the hockey Hallmark Christmas movies, I'll watch it with her.
There you go.
I was just looking at Netflix. Netflix has Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and The Last Crusade, and The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I will not watch because I've heard it's awful.
It's not that bad.
It's not.
I mean, once you get past the opening scenes.
And Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
It's not that bad.
Still my favorite of the. See, I wasn't a rabid Raiders of the Lost Ark fan. I actually liked The Last Crusade much better. That was much more fun for me with Sean Connery as dad.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I really liked Temple of Doom. That was probably my favorite.
Come on. Temple of Doom. We like, you know, like Short Round and.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was still pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not.
About any of them.
Yeah. Oh. Here's something I watched on Netflix: Space Force. It was quite good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you know, I've said it before. But as all these different companies individually go and start their own streaming services, and all of them try to get your $6 a month. As that continues to happen, you're going to see
freaking dime you.
you're going to see the rise of torrenting again, pirating your crap. Well, until somebody comes out with another solid solution that doesn't suck.
Good luck on that.
You know, back a second to the shows on Netflix. Last week, after the show, I went upstairs and my wife was watching The Big Flower Fight.
Oh, Jesus.
And I gotta say, it sucked me in, man. That was like, I'm like, this is stupid. And then I can't believe they did that with flowers. It is just like they did some amazing stuff.
Nailed it. Have you watched Nailed It?
I love Nailed It too. Yes. I mean, this is the opposite of Nailed It. This is like, you know, professionals. Well, mostly professionals putting stuff.
I like to see is them put people with a little bit more bills on Nailed It, because none of them have baking. I have more baking skills than they have on Nailed It.
So Nailed It has been on now for what, 4 seasons?
Oh, it's been on, something like that. It's crazy.
And I'm always surprised that it seems like
they get worse and worse people.
The people who are on season 4 have never seen an episode of Nailed It before, and they're like, I'm not going to follow any directions. I'm just going to wing it.
Yeah.
And like, what? And they don't, like, the first thing you learn from season 1 is the blast freezer. Stick it in the blast freezer when it comes out of the oven.
Oh, and the new season of F is for Family is out again, season 4.
Oh. But no, what is the price of Google TV now?
YouTube TV. I think it's 55 or 65.
Because they used to have two services. It was YouTube Red, and then it was
YouTube Premium, which is what it's called now.
YouTube Premium. And then did they merge the two services?
No,
or
they did not.
Ugh. So it's like 60 for one and 20 for the other, right?
No, it's only like $10 for YouTube Premium. Yeah, YouTube TV is quite different. Now, I will say this. Unless you're picky, like my son likes his weather channel, YouTube TV is probably the most complete of the services out there. Maybe followed by either Fubo or Philo. Which Link uses Philo.
So YouTube TV is $65 a month.
Yep. But the one thing that you get on YouTube TV that you don't get on Fubo is unlimited DVR in the cloud.
In the cloud.
Correct. So you can pretty much anywhere you have
but
internet
you know
connection.
If you know how to use YouTube DL, guess what?
Yeah. I haven't tried it with I have not tried that with YouTube TV. I don't even know if it would work with YouTube TV.
I don't know either.
I know it works with YouTube.
Well, okay, so I guess it almost, I look at this and say, what's the point of having DVR storage? Why doesn't YouTube just record all this
shit and then make it available
on demand?
That's kind of exactly what they do.
Yeah, the unlimited DVR is crap because they have it all stored anyway.
Right. Cause that's kinda exactly what they do. If you basically the only thing that I don't really call it a DVR because it doesn't actually, it doesn't like quote unquote record it, but like it doesn't make it available until after it's aired anyway, or when it's being aired. Like for example, you can start, like if a show started at 9:30, all right, I could start watching it at 9:30 now, and then fast forward to the commercials and catch up, or I could just wait until it's all over and it's already done. It's already recorded and available. But essentially what they do is they record everything. So basically once the air date has passed, it just becomes available. And it's just in there. It's not, you know, so because, and I'd imagine they'd have to or want to do that because, you know, it's one show shared among millions or how many ever thousands of subscribers versus a thousand of subscribers recording an hour of TV, you know. And so rather than have a thousand different streams recorded, to just have one that serves all those. So that's kind of what they do. And I assume some of the other ones work that way as well. Although I've had mixed results with DVRing anything on Fubo. Certain things like, trying to think if I've tried to record some of the latest PBA stuff. And it shows in my list as being recorded, but then I'll tap on it and it won't play it for some stupid reason.
Alright, here's a question I have. Is there anything that goes out over to cable, if you get a cable service, that you cannot stream from the cable service too?
See, my cable service I can stream from. You know, they have a streaming app too. In fact, I'd actually rather pay them just for the streaming app than for the TV boxes.
That was going to be my next question, because like, one of the comparisons they have in here is they're like, traditional services, they did a comparison to traditional service where you have hundreds of channels, it's like $85 a month, and then you have the additional, like box DVR rental fee and the box, second box rental fee or whatever it is, and installation fee. And so the one thing I'm wondering is like, I know like all the time if you get like certain network applications or whatever, whenever you go to play something from there, like, well, sign in with your cable company, right? So I'm thinking.
Which is bullshit.
What is not being streamed? Because I know the cable companies have their own streaming app. What is not being streamed? And can you get a basic cable package without having to pay the rental fee for like the cable box and all that and just do streaming?
Yep.
I wonder if you can.
That's what I asked Time Warner and they said I had to have at least one box for the lineup that I wanted. Yeah. Which is bullshit.
Do it the way you're talking about, no, because they really, really, really want you to rent that hardware. That's free money for them.
Mm-hmm. Even if it is only $6. Even if it is only $6 a month or whatever it is.
10,000 stupid people.
Yeah.
But, no, there are some, or there have in the past been some straight streaming services. I know you've seen those. What was that one that got shut down?
Yeah, Sling. There's Pluto. Pluto's free.
Pluto's still around.
Yeah, Pluto's garbage.
Pluto's free, but it has its paid service too.
Yeah,
I love Pluto. Where am I going to get my MST3 game fix?
Right.
Yeah, right.
YouTube. It used to all be on YouTube.
Right.
It's on Pluto gang. Too. It's just constantly streaming. And that now riff track.
All the new stuff is on Netflix.
Right. But that's I don't consider that. Well, I mean, that's different, right? That's like a whole different show. It's the same concept, but it's all different people. I'm talking about MST 3000 Classic and riff tracks. And
I just all discovered of something. I could save us $6 a month because I'm looking. I have the Hallmark streaming service. I was just looking at my lineup in Fubo, and it has all three Hallmark channels, including the one my wife likes. She likes the Murders and Mystery one. I can save $6 a month. Whoa. I'll tell her that.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, there's been a couple other ones, too. Now, I know way back when... when I was using Windows regularly. I think it was Radon.
Mm-hmm.
Radon player. And that would allow you to, that can't be the right way to spell it. It would allow you to basically view TV from all over the world. Oh, Radeon. That's it.
Okay.
And you download the application, you'd install it, and it would let you see all these different channels from everywhere, from California, South America, Europe, and it would all come in through that service and you could watch live. And it looks like it is still around. And Radeon TV movie radio player.
I don't know, Joe. It looks like every single episode of MST3K is on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's not like an official MST3K channel. It's like all these people just uploaded it.
Well, it used to be that it was officially on YouTube. So I don't know why. Well, okay. I do know why. After it went to Netflix, that was great. And they took down the dedicated channel on YouTube. But MST3K has always had that, you know, thing right at the beginning and the end saying, feel free to share this.
Yeah. It seems like the official MST3K has all, like, shorts.
No, hold on.
Well, go to that one channel. It's all, like... They're like here. All shorts and 3 minutes long.
This is what you need right here.
Well, I gotta go. Yeah, here we go.
His channel. There you go.
Is that Joe's channel?
No. This is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel. And this is full episodes. That's an hour and a half on the first one, an hour and 40, hour and 35, hour and 30. And this is all of them in order.
Okay, but...
From MST3K.
No, you're right. You're right. But when I first went over to their channel, like, that wasn't... Like, when I go over to their channel... And I look at the videos that they've uploaded. Those aren't
the most recent ones.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There's the full movies. You're right. I see the line of full movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they uploaded stuff 2 days ago, a week ago. I think they're just, you know, keeping buzz or something on their channel.
Yeah. See, the thing that kills me though is certain things like, back catalog. It's like, what? Why can't you just have all of a back catalog? Like, for example, like some of the 80s films, like I just watched the other day. I rented it only because it only cost me 99 cents because I had enough Google credit saved up. But I rented Summer Rental with John Candy. Remember that one?
Yeah.
But in other back catalog like that, nobody, none of this, like Netflix doesn't have it. Hulu doesn't have it. Well, and Amazon doesn't have it either. Unless you pay the extra for the Stars movie, whatever that is. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And what I discovered is, Hulu and Amazon both have Stars as an add-on. Which I'm like, why don't you just work out a deal with freaking Netflix? But now I guess Netflix doesn't care anymore since they're making more of their own stuff than they are bringing back catalog in. Or
Stars seems to be in bed with just about everybody.
Truth.
You could probably get a Stars ad on the Pluto TV.
I haven't checked that, but
I don't know.
Unsolved Mysteries is back on Netflix. Did you see that?
Like new episodes or the original ones?
Yes, like new episodes. I don't know if they have Robert Stack on it anymore, because I think, didn't he die?
Does Pluto TV have a paid?
I think they do.
Because I'm over there, I was just seeing if they had a Stars service, but.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about a paid. I don't even see a way to sign. Just like, they don't even ask you to sign up for anything.
Right, they just take you right to it. And it looks like they're on demand. I just clicked on their on demand because I thought their paywall might be there, but. I picked a movie, I pressed play, it started playing.
What'd you pick?
Shaft.
Oh, okay.
I see the Golden Child's on there now.
That's a classic.
Yep.
Not necessarily a good classic, but it's a classic.
I won't deny. Please.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Covenant, Hansel and Gretel,
Glory,
Attack the Block,
oh, look.
Star Trek Insurrection, Sleepwalkers, Geronimo, Leverage, have Leverage.
If you sign up, you can unlock more channels for free. CBSN, Stories by AMC, Spike on Pluto TV, MTV on Pluto TV.
Well, look at where it is.
No fan.
Who owns Pluto now? I can't remember.
Disney. They own everything.
I'm still not seeing the paywall.
There isn't.
That you found it.
When I was scrolling through the list of movies, the on-demand thing, it came up and said, "Hey, if you sign up, we'll never ask for a credit card number, and you get access to these other things." So I don't think they have a pay service.
See, my thing from Pluto is I just can't find anything I want to watch on Pluto sometimes.
Oh, that's any cable service.
True. Viacom owns Pluto.
This one's free.
Viacom CBS owns Pluto.
And think about the other free ones that are out there that you can, like, add to this, like Crackle.
Yeah, Crackle.
Wait, is Crackle free?
It's free. It's ad driven. They break up whatever you watch with ads, and they usually, like in the same movie, they'll show you the same ad every 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
And it's like what Hulu used to be, but with less selection.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And wait, what is the, anime?
Crunchyroll?
Crunchyroll. That's what I'm, Crunchyroll's not free. I mean, some of it is, right? But there's some that is free. Ooh! Trailer Park Boys!
I think Crunchyroll, if you can watch anything on it for free if you're willing to wait, but if you want it, like, next day or something.
Right.
Wait, Crunchyroll or Crackle?
Crunchyroll. Crackle's free, but if you want it without ads, then you have to pay.
Right, it's just, okay, Crunchyroll... Yeah, Crunchyroll is $7.99 a month.
Crunchyroll, the official source for anime. Watch instantly anywhere for free. But if you want unlimited ad-free, enjoy unlimited ad-free anime and always-growing manga library and members-only Crunchyroll store. Discounts across all of your favorite devices with Crunchyroll Premium.
There's also Tubi TV.
I've heard decent things about Tubi. But Pluto is what I recommend to, you know,
right.
Older people trying to cut the cord.
Does Crunchyroll have a Hulu application? I mean, a Roku application?
I don't know.
I think they do. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Now, Hulu used to have the free and then the paid. Is it now only paid?
Which one?
Hulu.
You know what?
You had to deal with ads, but it was still free. And then they switched to where you could get rid of the ads by paying. And then there was the issue where even if you paid, you still ended up with some ads. And then now I think you have to pay to watch anything.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't get the whole Hulu thing, because we had Hulu for a while, and then it was like, it's like $5.99 a month, and now it's part of Disney Plus. I don't know how we're paying for it.
Yeah, well, now they have two tiers, Hulu, the $5.99 a month, and that has all your regular online stuff, and then they have the Hulu Plus Live TV, which is like $55 a month.
Well, all of you hacky shows on Hulu. You watch anime, Joe?
Nothing recent, really. Except for, what, Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay. I've been itching to watch Paranoia Agent again. Did you ever watch Yu Yu Hakusho show?
No,
I love
kind of wanting to watch Trigun again.
Yeah, Trigun.
I mean, I recently went through Cowboy Bebop again, so now I'm feeling the urge to go through Trigun again.
Now I have to look if it's still available, but the live action Space Battleship Yamato was pretty good.
I keep waiting for the live-action Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
Inuyasha.
Mm-hmm.
Rurouni Kenshin. Ay, ay, ay.
See, there's so much to watch now. It's like, if you're bored, it's like,
yeah,
like when your kids say you're bored, I'm like, are you nuts? I'm like, when we were kids, they had how many? They had three networks.
No, three channels.
Yeah, three channels, and if the president was on, your night was shot.
Yeah, or a baseball game, or football.
If you tell kids today they had three networks, they're going to assume that you had three places to go where you could pick what you wanted to watch.
For the Olympics. True. Yeah, I got so much available. I don't watch a damn thing anymore.
Yeah, you know, I've there's so much to watch that I've given up on ever catching up on everything.
Yeah. Yep. I'm like, oh, I'd like to see that, but now I'm going to sit down and watch Wolf Pit. So.
Oh, I'm 12 seasons behind. No, I'm good.
I know it's good, but that's about it. I watch YouTube for a bit and then I go to bed.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry, Joe. What were you saying?
Oh, I'm 12 seasons behind. Nah, I won't catch up. I'm good.
Yeah, I'd like to watch anime, but 244 episodes or something. I'm like, come on. I don't have that time anymore. I do, but I don't.
It's
like saying, I'm going to catch up on One Piece. Huh?
What? Oh, my God. That's right. Still going on, isn't it?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think it is. You ever watch the YouTube channel Company Man?
Oh, yeah. I watch that regularly.
Yeah, this week's episode is The Decline of GNC. Dead Mall Stable.
That'd be interesting. I watch, like, we watch Wolf Pit, obviously, Company Man, Technology Connections on a regular basis.
You watch LGR at all? Lazy Game Reviews?
Yeah, I watch that sometimes. Angry Video Game Nerd. We also spend an awful lot of time watching old 80s commercials. 70s and 80s. And I'm like, I sit there with my wife and watch it. I'm like, you know, back when, like, we bought a DVR
to skip the commercials. Now all we're doing is watching the commercials.
Because the commercials from the 80s were hilarious.
Yeah. That's right. Actually, what's even more funny is look on YouTube, you can find like Wendy's training videos or Pizza Hut training videos. But, see now LGR, Lazy Game Reviews, are you on any of his other channels? Cause he has two or three now.
I've seen some of them.
Like, one of his newest one is LGR Blurbs, which is basically stuff that would normally have fit in the LGR channel, but it's not quite long enough for a normal LGR video. Then he's got LGR Foods, which is pretty fun too. LGR Foods is usually him making a sandwich. But you know what? He's got good taste. I have to give him that.
Joe, One Piece is at like episode 932 and it's still going.
And you know, I haven't watched episode 1 yet.
Did you watch any episodes?
You know, I think I have watched an episode here and there, but I think it was more on the TV and I was in the same room.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out whether they actually got to the red line, if they ever got to the red line. Because that was I know I watched a couple seasons, but there's no way I would catch up on that.
Now, I just started watching a lot of Teardrop Camping YouTube channels, mostly because of what Joe said the other week. There's one called Playing with Sticks, which is pretty fun. Slim Potato Head is also another one that's fun.
What did I say the other week?
About we were talking about campers and teardrop campers.
The 3D printed camper?
Yes. Teardrop camping looks really fun, but it's like I'd love it. I think Luke would like it, but I'm pretty sure my wife would hate it. Because basically a teardrop camper is nothing but a bed on wheels with a little galley on the back.
Yeah. And my wife wants one, so.
That's okay. You can add like a Rock Pal solar generator, which is like the solar panels plus the battery pack. And that'll run a cooler for like the electric coolers for a while.
Well, like, when we go and visit people in either El Paso or Florida for Christmas or whatever, we go out there and we stay at the grandparents' house and, you know, my wife, her brother, my three kids, her parents, me, it's a lot of people. So the wife wants to get a teardrop so that we can just park out front.
And sleep in there.
Sleep in there. Don't do anything else. Well, don't do anything else out there, but have some place to go when it's time to crash.
Yep. And at least you could buy like a little Honda generator or something like that to run power out there if you needed to. Or hook in the shore power, yeah.
Because I need power.
You need air conditioning.
No, I need power in order to be able to sleep.
Well, that too.
Christmas in El Paso, it's not like it's going to be in the 90s.
Now, you see, that's one thing I'm going to, if I ever, one thing I'd like to do is get one of those Rock Pal generators, because that would, by itself, one night, and I think you might be able to plug that into the wall at the same time and act like a backup for the CPAP. But what I would want to do though is contact Resma and say, hey, where's a decent, like an automotive converter, you know, a decent 12 volt to a DC converter so that I can just plug it into the 12 volt port on that, because the inverter, which it has on, you know, it has a standard inverter. You can just plug a AC power right into it. Anything that can use AC power, but you're not gonna last as long because you're gonna lose some power in that conversion. So you need to, if you can get something that just strictly goes DC to DC, you know, even if it's a step down somewhere, that would extend the amount of time that that battery would last. So that's something I got to think about, because I might be able to get more than 8 hours out. If I can get more than 8 hours out of it, that's sufficient for a couple day trip. That way I don't have to necessarily have, cause see, that's one of the neat things I saw when I was at Burr Oak was some of the, primitive sites, which basically is just a picnic table and a campfire ring, have more space for your tent because they're made for tents, not made for RVs. So they had more space for the tent, flatter space, cause the other thing that I noticed too when I camped there was there was a slope coming off of the pad that you would normally park your RV on. Which, when you park an RV, that's probably ideal, but when that slope goes into where you would put your tent, it's not ideal. So, but, I don't know. I mean, some of the primitive sites they had at Burr Oak were right there, right on the lake. So, let's see. I don't mind boondocking either. Just dragging it. See, that's the other thing with the teardrop, you could drag that into where you want to go. So if you're just pulled off like, into a section of Wayne National Forest where it would be legal to just camp anywhere, you can just park anywhere where there's a big enough path for you to drag the teardrop in there, and you can drag it into the woods and go sleeping in the woods instead of just on the side of the road. It's something to think about. But
we gotta wrap this up.
It's getting to be that time already.
It is.
It's getting that time to go to bed and get up and walk downstairs to work, right?
Right.
And I got 8 o'clock when last 2 days I started at 7. At least I don't have to start till 8 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm gonna have to start making some iced coffee.
Now or for work?
Well, for now. Make the coffee now, and it'll be ready for, you know, work in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Takes a good 12 hours.
Okay. All right.
So I might have to wait for a little while.
You don't start until that's ready, right?
Well, I don't wake up till that's ready. I don't have to necessarily be awake to work, though.
You just want to put your finger on that button? You have like a pair of glasses with paper eyes on the lenses, so that when you're on a camera and people are looking at you, that looks like you're awake.
Oh, I don't let them turn on my camera.
You don't turn on the camera because the excuse now is bandwidth issues.
Yeah, bandwidth issues. I know half the people I work with don't wear pants.
Pants?
Oh. All right.
What's this thing you call pants?
Exactly.
Well, you guys enjoy not wearing pants.
Well, you don't have to go to the office, do you?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No, but I usually, I'm outside now in my front yard working, so I'm wearing pants.
Although, my back has been hurting, so I think I'm going to move to the dining room table for a while instead of my comfy chair.
I can't sit in a comfy chair and work. It has to be like a desk chair.
I have for the last couple of, you know, months now, but now my back's starting to hurt. So I think it's time to take a break from the comfy chair and work on posture for a little while.
Posture is always a good thing.
All right.
All right, I got to play this out.
I'm looking through. Usually, when does the call for papers usually open up for Ohio Linux Fest? I'm not seeing anything yet. Makes me wonder if it's going to happen either this year. I bet you it probably won't.
I think call for papers, if they do a virtual one, will probably be August. I thought it was usually by now. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, because it's, what, November-ish, I think?
Yeah.
Well, it's October...
No, wait, isn't it October? It's October is when it usually happens.
I have to go look at the website. Early October. I know their website's not been updated yet.
So they haven't said they're doing online?
November 1st and 2nd was last year.
Oh, wow, that was late. All right, I'm going to play this out. Hear your promos. Uh-huh. Thank you, everybody. Have a safe week. Enjoy the heat. You too, Joe. You have a safe week. Stay safe.
I'm going to try.
All right, here you go.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you make your own pizza at home, Dan, look for Hormel Cup and Crisp pepperoni.
I've seen that. I've never had it, but I've seen
it. It works, man. It cups up and crisps up as that pizza bakes. It'll even do that in a microwave, too.
I don't think I would do it in a microwave. That seems like the wrong way to be making pizza.
Well, no, you just microwave the pepperoni.
Oh, I thought you meant making a pizza in a microwave.
No. Well, I could, because I got a convection oven in mine, but no, it's just a, if you put it like on a paper towel, put like some, I like to do that and like sprinkle some, like garlic and some Parmesan cheese on top of the pepperonis. Microwave it, fill it for a few seconds, and those suckers will cup up and crisp. And then you just pop them in your mouth and eat them like a snack. Low-carb snack. And I went to Aldi's yesterday and I picked up some of their zero net carb bread. It's got a little bit of carbs. It's got like 9 grams per serving, I think. I haven't tried making a sandwich yet, but... I was actually looking for another thing they have at Aldi's, which they didn't have at my Aldi's, was apparently they'll make like sheets of like mozzarella that you can use to like make a sandwich, like a wrap sandwich. So you just put your meat and other cheeses and other fillings on that sheet of mozzarella and then roll it up just like you would a tortilla. So low carb or no carb.
Interesting.
I remember though when I was in college or right outside of college, I used to go to Aldi's and Aldi's was crap, but it's really good now.
Yeah, Aldi's is not the same Aldi's I remember from growing up.
Yeah, when I was growing up, right out of college, it was horrible. But not now, though. Now you go in there, you get quality food, man.
Yeah, Aldi's and Little, man, they're pretty good.
We don't have any Littles right now. Ooh, a mystery Google device shows up at the SEC. Is it a phone? What is it?
Say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop the recording.
Goodnight, Joel.
That was like the only choice. It was either sugar or saccharin. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was realizing things, that was a choice. And then what was it, Equal? I think it was Equal that came along.
Equal's still around, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, that's the one I remember. There was sugar, there was saccharin, and then Equal was the next one.
It's all garbage, that stuff.
Yeah. Sucralose.
Chemical, disgusting crap. It's worse than actual sugar, that stuff. It's garbage.
Sucralose is still around.
It actually fucks up your metabolism.
It can, depending on the type. I mean, if it's overprocessed sugar made to not be sugar, then yeah, it's going to mess up your metabolism. But well, there's a couple of other ones that are plant-based sweeteners that...
Stevia?
Stevia. I don't even know if there's any long-term studies on Stevia.
Stevia is probably the best one out of all that.
What's the other one? Monk's something. Look. Monk fruit sweeteners.
Never heard of that. Huh.
And none of them, you know, are sugar, and so they taste a little different. But if you're trying to stay away from sugar, then it's not terrible.
Oh, you ever see a monk fruit?
No, not like in person. And I have some coconut sugar, but I haven't tried that yet. And then I have sucralose. Probably one of those ones that Pat says is really terrible for you.
Man, a monk fruit almost looks like a chestnut.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of diabetics in my family, so I'm trying to avoid that shit, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to...
I don't want my legs getting cut off or going blind, so...
Yeah, my grandma, my dad, my sister... Type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, you know the struggle, Joe.
I would like to avoid that.
I'm with you.
I would also like to avoid, you know, weighing 300 plus pounds.
That's so, yeah. I'm with you. I've been trying to stay fit. I've been, you know, keeping the weight down and trying to work out.
Well, today is the first time in a while, but I had some pizza.
You got it once in a while, you know? You can't be so strict all the time.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it from a pizzeria?
It was Little Caesars.
Oh, okay.
Hot and ready. $5 pizza. Worth every nickel.
I won't comment. I'm a pizza snob.
If they had a decent pizza place around here, I would definitely give it a try.
Yeah, I hear you.
Plus, whether it's a $20 pizza or a $5 pizza, I can guarantee my kids are going to eat the exact same amount.
All of it?
Pretty much, yeah. Like even processed wheat can set off a glucose response in the blood. I think that's the correct terminology.
Who's rich this week?
He's probably getting his pizza.
He's getting his. He's getting hot dogs.
You can maybe actually get a decent pizza in Florida. All those former New Yorkers.
He's getting Taco Bell.
Joel, I could see getting Taco Bell. I don't think Rich would get Taco Bell. Does he ever talk about getting Taco Bell? I don't think so.
No, I don't think he eats Taco Bell.
Only in the context of Joel.
Yeah, I can't see Rich getting Taco Bell. Now, you know what? If Rich ever comes up there, Pat, spend a day with you, take him to Yakko's. There you go. That'll kill him.
Yeah, it was a few years since he's been up here.
A while. Have you ever had Yakko's, Pat?
It's okay.
I love Yakko's. Potts. I liked Potts, too.
I'm more of a burger person than hot dogs.
All right, let's see. What do we got going on here?
This is Texas. I just take them to a rib joint.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them loose. Or barbecue joint.
My brother lived in California. Anytime I visited, he would buy like two pieces and freeze them, take them on the plane. He was out there for like 8 years. It literally took him 7 years to find a decent piece of corn. And yes, In-N-Out Burger's overrated.
In-N-Out Burger what?
It's overrated.
The first time I had it, I was like, whoa, this is really good. And then when I've gone back and had it after, I've had it like three times. And it just, I was like, why was I so blown away by this? I mean, it's not bad, but it's not like people lose their minds over it.
Yeah, it's bland. It's like the whole Chick-fil-A thing. I never got that either. It's okay, you know?
Yeah, it's okay. That's about the best you can say for it.
Exactly. It's fast food. It's like the least horrible of a horrible bunch.
That's like people rave on about Whataburger. And honestly, Whataburger's burgers aren't that great. Now, their French fries and their shakes are delicious.
It seems most commercial burger places now, they cook the shit out of it. They're all afraid of getting sued if someone gets food poisoning.
Right.
And
you might as well.
They
might as well be
it.
Eating fried cardboard.
I totally agree. Have you eaten McDonald's like in the last 5 years? It's absolutely disgusting.
It is.
It's so fucking nasty. I remember it being better when we were kids.
It was.
Now I don't mind their burgers, but
they're hockey pucks, dude.
Yeah, they're
pretty bad these days.
But the fries and like anything else do not sit well with me.
Yeah, well, the fries, they literally pour like pounds of salt on it. I don't know. I'm just jaded. I'd rather go to like a fucking good Thai place or a Vietnamese place. good steak place, you know.
Good Korean place.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah, every time I go to like a fast food restaurant, which was very rare to begin with, it was always like, why did I waste my money?
Hey, if I was forced to eat something at McDonald's, it would probably be a sausage with a muffin mistake.
It's like, you know, you only have so many more meals left in your life. Why waste it on that?
Yeah.
This Taco Bell is awesome.
Let's talk about Taco Bell. We're talking about McDonald's, Joe.
White Castle.
Dude, I like White Castle. I'll
take that shit any day over fucking the other one.
You get like 20 of those and shove them in right after the other?
In college, we used to get pissed drunk, drink like whiskey, like Jack Daniels, and then fucking go and eat White Castle and gorge ourselves. You know, eating 20 of anything is not a good idea, man. It's a recipe for disaster.
No, absolutely. Like, if you try and get, like, the last time I had White Castle was in Columbus at one of the Linux Fests. It was going back. And I think I had four of them, and they were really good, but man, it doesn't sit well in the older digestive system, Joe.
Listen, I make really strong coffee, good coffee, you know, every day, and I drink two cups of my coffee, and then I go shit my brains out on the toilet afterwards. But, you know, it's good stuff, you know, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I've never actually been to a White Castle.
Oh, man.
I can't imagine why. They're only in, like, two or three states, right?
It's like the Northeast.
Yeah. Well, they're in New York, aren't they? So it's like...
Yeah, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I don't know, Michigan. Maybe Michigan.
You know, there are actually some a couple of miles away from me in the Dallas area.
Really?
Let me see. White Castle. No, oh, they were lying to me. I did a search for, oh, no, they weren't. There we go. Where was it?
I thought they were only in like those four states. Let's see, what's the closest White Castle to me? I can't even get the damn webpage. Oh, here we go. Locations. Yeah, no castles nearby. No problem.
I got two.
Yeah, there's one in Allen. Where's the? Is it the one in Jersey and the one in Allentown?
Yes.
Okay.
One in Sulzburg and there's one over by the Home Depot in Allentown.
White Castle fast food chain. Looks like the nearest one is Kansas City.
Wow.
I didn't know they were that far west.
Hold on. This is, oh. 3401 Clark Lane, Columbia, Missouri? Yeah, Missouri.
Columbia, Missouri. I didn't know they were that far west.
Looks like the closest one to me is Forked River, New Jersey.
I'm surprised there's none in like Maryland. You think Maryland would be prime for that? Better than Popeyes.
That's weird. They're like all clustered around the. Like the Northern Jersey and New York, Southern New York area, and then Allentown is about as furthest west as they go until you get to Ohio. Then Ohio, yeah, and Indiana.
I do a search for White Castle, like, near my home. And a bunch of burger places pop up, so I thought there might have been one near me at first, and nope.
Yeah, I'm on the White Castle website. I don't see anything in Texas.
But they're out in Missouri, and they are in, oh, wow. I don't think that they, I'm not sure that they hit in Michigan. It seems to just be right outside of Michigan.
I see a White Castle Waterworks in Louisiana.
Well, is that a,
it says it's a fast food restaurant.
That sounds like a terrible name for a fast food restaurant. Waterworks?
What it says.
It can't be stupider than that stupid Quaker oil restaurant. A restaurant that looked like a fucking garage. Yeah,
oh, that place!
That makes me hungry, you know? Motor oil.
Yeah, oh, there's one of those. What is that?
I've never been to it. There's one over in Phillipsburg. Joel says he liked it. I don't know. I think of like a garage, dirty, dingy, you know?
The Quaker Steak and Lube.
Yeah. I've never been to it. It's been there for a while, so it must be popular.
Yeah, there's one up in around here at Newport News, and I'm like,
I've never eaten it. I don't know if it's any good.
Mm-hmm. What about it, Joel? Quaker Steak and Lube. Does it get you going?
Eh, it's too far away from me. There's one up east in not east in Polaris area up here in Ohio, and oh gosh, it's probably been 10 years since I've been there. All right. Prefer other places.
Is it all operated by the Quaker Oil?
I don't think so.
They probably had to pay like royalty rights for that shit.
Probably the truth. Well, either that or they just got the name from the Quaker State, you know.
Why does their history button not work on their website? Oh, here we go.
Have we actually started?
Not really. We're just talking about food. Crappy fast food.
I'll tell you what's tasty that you probably shouldn't get.
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell grilled cheese burrito. It's really good. But I am sure it's not good for you. But it tastes good. And Dots Pretzels.
Don't have those.
They're from Nebraska, believe it or not. And, they're pretty good. It's kinda like, you ever had the braids from Keebler, the butter braid pretzels from Keebler? Yeah, they kinda got that flavor, but a little more. So, kinda buttery slash a little bit of a bite to it. Not, I wouldn't say spicy hot or anything like that, but.
All right, well, so just for your information, the Quaker Steak and Lube started off in 1974 during the oil crisis. Price of gasoline was skyrocketing, and so what they did was they were taking all the old gas stations that were closing down and the old
Quaker
muscle
State
cars,
ones, right?
Yeah, that were going out of style because they consumed too much gas, and they were building the restaurants inside of those and using the cars as decorations. So that's
kind of cool.
Yeah, that's yep. Where it comes from.
Yeah, I got a picture of Luke when Luke was a kid. They had I'm trying to remember who drove for him. It was a atypical NASCAR driver drove a Cheerios car. But they had the Cheerios car sitting out front. I don't know if they have it up there anymore. But they had the net down so you could put your kid in the car if you wanted to and take a picture, and that's what I did. I've got a picture of Luke somewhere when he's about 2 or 3 like that.
If you go, Joel, you can eat heat challenge.
Feeling tough? Try 6 wings with our hottest sauce yet, made from scorpion pepper venom and concentrated capsaicin, sweetened with just slightly with juicy wild berries. Challenge includes a t-shirt. You must sign
Johnny
a release
Benson.
Form.
How many? 6?
6. And you must sign a release form.
You could do 6. Come on.
Johnny Benson was the name of the guy's car that was out front. But, yeah, the neat thing they do is when you order, like, on your rings, they have a half moon, you know, the moon hubcaps with an antenna in the middle of them, and they'll put the onion rings on that.
Interesting.
And they're okay on your rings.